Access and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Dock workers are on strike. They walked off their jobs at ports from Maine to Texas overnight. The issue? Wages and automation. Daniel Amelie picketed at Port Elizabeth in New Jersey.
Automation of our nation's ports should be a concern for everyone. The truth is, robots do not pay taxes. They do not spend money in their communities.
The concern for consumers, shortages, and higher prices. Wayne State labor expert Marek Masters.
It will take a while for those impacts to be felt. In other words, a very short strike won't have that much of an effect.
An escalation in the Middle East where Israeli troops have crossed into Lebanon. Reporter Linda Gradstein from Jerusalem.
The army said it had launched what it called a targeted and limited incursion overnight Monday into a number of Lebanese villages that was focused on Hezbollah infrastructure that posed what it called an immediate threat to Israeli towns on the other side of the border.
It follows an Israeli bombing campaign that wiped out most of Hezbollah's top militants. At least 130 deaths are now reported across six states in the South in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. Hundreds of people are still missing. Aaron Smith, his wife, and two young sons lost their home in Batcave, North Carolina.
I mean, there's no roads. There's no evidence of roads. There's no trees. It's just water.
J.D. Vance and Tim Walz will be here at our CBS News Broadcast Center in New York tonight for their first and likely only debate before the November election. Correspondent Linda Kenyon.
Political analyst Larry Sabato says for Vance,
he can probably make a better argument about many of the Republican issues than Trump has been able to do.
Walz, he says, will have to call out Vance on some of those issues, including his claim about Haitian migrants eating pets in Springfield, Ohio.
There's no way he can get by in that debate being Mr. Nice.
A baseball legend has died. Pete Rose breaking baseball's hits record in 1985, but his accomplishments were overshadowed by a major scandal when he was banned from the league for betting on his own games. Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle, was 83. No cause given. Former President Jimmy Carter has made it to a major milestone. Jan Williams is a longtime friend.
We just have always felt like that it might have been in God's plans to let him live to see his 100th birthday.
Jimmy Carter, born October 1st, 1924. He'll mark the occasion at his home in Plains, Georgia, where he remains in hospice care. S&P futures down 4. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Red Cross volunteers from Wisconsin are helping people in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. Terry Bell reports.
In all, 1,400 workers from around the country are part of the relief effort. 25 volunteers are from Wisconsin. Their assignments could change at any time. In fact, Red Cross volunteers have to be on standby in case they're needed more somewhere else in the country. I'm Terry Bell.
A high school football game in Milwaukee was cut short Friday when a gun in the stadium went off by accident. Police say an off-duty security guard accidentally fired his weapon during a game at Wisconsin Lutheran High School. The stands were emptied and everyone was sent home. The officer injured himself and was treated. The school is now going over its safety protocols. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz and this is Civic Media News.
It's time for the MLB postseason. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers will play the Mets today to open up the best of three wildcard round. Milwaukee enters as the NL Central champion and third seed in the NL. Manager Pat Murphy said the Brewers are young but ready for the postseason.
It's about getting them ready. We're going to face one of the best teams in baseball, whoever it is, with a lot of firepower, with a guy on the mound that's good. You know, you can say, well, he only had 4 days or he only had 3 days. This time of year, you can throw all that stuff out the window. It's about being ready to play, and we're going to play against somebody good. So, you know, buckle your chin strap and let's roll.
First pitch is after 4:30 p.m. The Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the L.A. Rams on Sunday. Kickoff this week against the Rams is after 3 p.m. on Sunday. And Wisconsin football will play in back-to-back 11 a.m. games the next 2 weeks. They host Purdue this Saturday and play at Rutgers next week. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be quite a bit cooler today, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid 60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, breezy, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow joins us to kick around all things newsy. We wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Schwabba.
It's because I have guests like the ones I have in the studio. They're always trying to... take you down.
We're trying to break your...
get you to your knees and pain. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight. Ladies and gentlemen, we are broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay on a gorgeous night, the eve of October, one of my favorite Wisconsin months. Great movies come out this month. We're going to watch horror films. We're going to eat a lot of candy. There's all kinds of theater going on and some sports events. It's going to be a great month, and we're kicking it off here tonight with... a couple of the guys from the filmmaking scene here in Northeast Wisconsin, and Frank Anderson coming up at 7:20 to talk about Kris Kristofferson and Wisconsinology and some spooky stories. But right now, I've got a few more minutes with these guys, Dan Davies and Craig Kinnett. They've been nice enough to come down to the studio and be here in person, which I always like. Guys, you both, every time I talk to one of you, you're always in the middle of making, I don't know, one, two, three, four films at a time. It seems like you really work hard. What is the climate like right now first in Wisconsin and secondly in Northeast Wisconsin for indie filmmakers? Do you feel supported? Do you feel like, walk me through it.
I think it's hard to do this here in the state unless you have a passion. I mean, it's not something that you're going to see people like Bill Rabane running around anymore. You know, right. Who are making a full-blown living doing what they did at that time and flourishing. It's hard, but it is not impossible.
Right.
I really love to make short films because that's a limited investment of your time, but I am itching to get at something really meaty and something big. I've got probably about 5 scripts that I'm working on all the time to see what the next thing is, and then another one will sneak in, and you got to get that shot. You know,
right.
So... it's there are people all over our state that are doing it, and it's fun to kind of connect with all these different groups that are making things. Appleton is kind of, Dan, you're kind of one of the kingpins down in that area.
Yeah. I'd love to be a kingpin.
Godfather of Appleton.
Hey, that sounds like a movie idea.
Yeah, an excellent movie idea. It is difficult. You know, we don't have the tax rebates. We don't have that incentive for movies as Illinois does, and Illinois is making a lot of good money off of that. I finished up a film that's going to be released in late 2024, early 2025. It's a horror film called Without a Name. And the filmmakers are from Japan, Los Angeles, and Germantown, Wisconsin, of all places. Huh. And they got me involved in this film. And I play a deranged preacher who starts this cult, kind of a death cult. And it's called Without a Name. Really well done film. But their attraction to Wisconsin was the locations and the people. And the locations are amazing and inexpensive or free. And the people are amazing.
Right.
And inexpensive or free.
Well, right. And Wisconsin people have always had a reputation for being hard workers. And also not just that, but not necessarily needing the same level of credit that they might need in, right, in California or something like that. And I'm very proud of the fact that we're seen that way. So it's like, let's continue that, you know, let's continue these practices.
Let's talk about just for a minute, the incentives that you mentioned, Dan. Yeah. I feel like, you know, that would be very helpful. I've shot a movie here before. I could see the benefits if we had them. I think you also get benefits if people bend over backwards to help you. That you can't put, mm-hmm, a price on that. However, incentives, if they pass here and we get them, I really feel like there needs to be kind of a makeover of how the whole state views the arts. I think it has to start young. And I think if you just install incentives and dole out some money, that's great. But I think it has to come – it has to be almost like a, like when they get youth football or baseball, yeah, clubs, mm-hmm, with theater and drama and get, yeah, people into that and give the state more of an identity, yeah, to sustain the incentives. Am I wrong about that?
You have to have the infrastructure.
Exactly.
Well, and Pete, I might have talked to you about this last time I was on, but – do you know how much money Wisconsin spends per, you know, their entire state budget, how much they spend or where we stand with, as far as the nation, as far as where,
I don't.
Wisconsin is the bottom, the absolute bottom, really, for what is being spent on the arts. That's disgusting. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Minnesota is probably at the top.
Yeah. Right.
We spend less than 50 cents on our artists out of the budget, and Minnesota spends $7.
See, and that's the problem, too. Like, when Michigan pulled their incentives, they gave some idea like, well, we need roads. We, mm-hmm, got to – I go, that money shouldn't come from an infrastructure bill.
Right.
That's like taking money off your dinner table. This has to, yeah, be allocated because you feel – you believe that this is what this state represents, yeah, on some level.
Absolutely.
So that's interesting you say that. More importantly, what are you guys watching right now? What do a couple filmmakers go home and watch at night when you're done writing or filming or whatever?
You know what? Here's something for you. Last night I was watching, well, I watched the new Walking Dead. That's, oh my,
which,
God.
Which one?
The Daryl Dixon one.
Yeah.
The Book of Carol. And it's okay. It's good. I mean, it's not, none of this stuff is as good as it was when the Walking Dead first came out.
I agree.
Then it was brilliant. And now it's just kind of getting, I'm curious as to where they're going to go with it. But I also watched, last night I watched the great pumpkin carving contest on the Food Channel. Why? Because one of Green Bay's own, Carly Ide, is in the contest.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, she's a brilliant little artist, and yeah, she's just such a little...
That's cool.
She's paired up with this gigantic dude, and she's this little girl, and they look so great together, and they carve these amazing things.
That's awesome. Nice.
So that's,
yeah,
fun.
Yeah. Okay.
As we've had conversations prior, Pete, I'm a huge sports fan. So, you know, Brewers... you know, Badgers, Packers, Bucks, anything that's sports related, I'm watching, you know, all the time. I'm excited, though, about, because I got some ancillary coverage because of Charlie Hunnam, the guy from Sons of Anarchy, oh, yeah, playing Ed Gein in the new Monster.
Oh,
the
right.
Third season of,
right,
Netflix's
the
most watched
series. Yeah.
Yeah. They now have the Menendez brothers and they had Jeffrey Dahmer on that. So I'm getting all this kind of publicity because of that.
Nice.
So they're reaching out to say, what do you think of this new TV show, Monsters, of the third season? And I'm super excited for that. And hopefully I can kind of weasel my way into what they're doing with it because I've already gotten some inroads into that.
Nice.
So I don't know if I'd be a creative consultant or maybe, you know, semi-nude kitten juggler on set.
Hey.
You know?
Semi-nude.
Yeah, just from the waist
down.
Explain.
Okay.
So it's family friendly.
Partially nude kittens?
Well,
what is going on here?
The kittens are partially nude.
Oh, man.
Kittens are always naked.
But yeah, there's so much
it's
great
disgusting
content out there, Pete. It's so, yeah, frustrating. And it's like,
yeah,
there's a new Lord of the Rings series, and I'm enjoying it. But I'm hearing so much hatred for it by the true fans. It's like, that's just fan fiction. And it's like, well, what are they supposed to do? The guy that wrote it's gone. He can't,
yeah,
write it anymore. But man, some of that stuff is brilliant.
Dan, you mentioned a film you were in that is coming out soon. Where can people see that? And can they see Ed Gein the Musical anywhere?
Yep, that's
okay.
On Tubi and,
okay,
Amazon and all kinds of streaming platforms. And that kind of got resurrected in 2023. Without a Name is going to be out.
That's the one.
They're
going, right,
to do, yeah.
a limited, probably theatrical. It premiered in Los Angeles already, but it's doing film festivals, and they split it up, actually. So I'm in the prologue of the film. I'm in the feature film. But then my part, they cut out of the film and made it into its own standalone short film,
oh, nice.
Which was a compliment to me. I was blown away. And that's winning all kinds of stuff, and that was called Pastor Jameson's New Plan. But it's all because of this feature film, which is without a name. And it's Emmett Leverday, Hayato Mitsuishi, and Eric Otto Lukert. So great filmmakers, and I'm excited about that. But it's just, it's fun. It's, you know, living in Wisconsin, we've just got our work ethic. But we do need to get that incentive for other filmmakers to come here so that we have that Agreed. Infrastructure well, and culture.
And the frustrating thing, too, Pete, with that film incentive bill is that that's going to take 10 to 20 years before Wisconsin filmmakers are going to benefit from it. You know, right now, if we bring in, if the bill goes into place, they're going to hire carpenters for the jobs. They're going to hire extras. They're going to hire, you know, set builders and things like that, painters. But they're not going to really hire the creatives that they need. And that's what we'd love. Those are the jobs we'd love to have. And those are the jobs that pay the best. But if we build this foundation, like Dan said, if we build a foundation and prove that we actually have some capacity here, who knows where that could go?
Absolutely. Yeah. Dan Davies and Craig Kinnett are with me here in the studio. We've got a couple more minutes. How do you guys feel about Wisconsin film festivals? Do you go to a lot of them? Is this a good state for film festivals? It seems like we have more than our share.
Yeah, I was a huge fan of Craig's and Jason's in Wildwood for years and years and years. I have my own, which I started 6 years ago, called the National Independent Film Association NIFA Awards, and Bill Rabane is getting a Lifetime Achievement Award, and that's this coming Saturday. It's at the Appleton Beer Factory in Appleton, Wisconsin. We have Through a Storm, which is a internationally acclaimed documentary on 9/11, filmed by Academy Award winner Jeff Ulm, who's going to be there, and some rock and rollers from Dublin, Ireland, called the Black Donnellys, talented musicians. Yeah. They've been Emmy nominated and Guinness Book of World Records. They're going to be there as well. And Craig is going to be there as well. And he's going to help me. You're going to co-host that with me.
Did you know that,
which
Craig,
one?
Before he said that?
NIFA.
Dan, I got to be at a PopCon here in Green Bay that day.
Sounds like you guys have some things to work
You're
out.
Cheating on me.
I know. That's not right. And then as far as Wildwood is concerned, I'd love to see that come back, Dan.
Oh, that's the one that went away. That's right. I was thinking why
we And it was the only film festival that was 100% dedicated to Wisconsin film talent.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, and I was at the Malva Cultural Center in De Pere last week, and I was almost in tears, Pete, at how beautiful that facility is.
Oh, really?
Seriously.
Nice.
And they've got an 800-seat theater that could become something.
Huh.
It was gorgeous, and I don't know if we could find some partnerships there to make some of this stuff happen, but wow, some of the arts opportunities in our state are growing, and I love to see that.
That's fantastic. Hold those up there to the stream. Guys, this was fun. I appreciate you coming in. I wish you nothing but the best with your event this weekend for Bill Rabane and the Giant Spider Invasion. It sounds like a blast. One more time, you want to give people the website where they can go?
What is the website?
Well, WIGAArts.org is probably the best way to do it. And then go on to Facebook if you're looking for WIGAArts.org or a 50th anniversary special screening of the Giant Spider Invasion. You'll be able to find the event pages very simply on that. And that's this Friday. 6 p.m., movie at 7. We've got dancers. We've got musicians. We've got, shenanigans.
We got prizes.
Look for these guys.
Beer.
Yeah. Yeah. Great stuff, guys. And look for these guys. Have fun. Check it out. These are two really good dudes. You got to meet them. So go out there and introduce yourselves. And break a leg this weekend, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Pete.
Thank you,
this was a blast.
Dan Davies and Craig Kinnett. We'll have you guys back soon. And wish you luck this weekend. All right. When we come back, the legendary Frank Anderson joins the show. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. What I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s.
George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes. This man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Get up, Paul. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue, I'm thinking just of you.
Welcome back to this Monday night edition of Nightlight. We are broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. It is the eve of October, ladies and gentlemen. And we are kicking it off right. We talked about a giant spider invasion and director Bill Rabane with Dan and Craig. And now we are going to turn our attention to all things Wisconsin with a little pivot toward Chris Christopherson with our old friend and one of our Nightlight frequent flyers, Frank Anderson. Frank, how are you?
Wonderful. Were you listening to your break song?
Teardrops Fall? Yeah, Chris Isaac.
Chris Isaac. Okay, yeah. That was his first single release.
Oh, is that
and
right?
He played, he appeared on American Bandstand. I'll never forget because I was quite a fan. And they asked the Raider Record kids what they thought of that song. And the answer was, you cannot dance to it. And that drove Chris Isaac nuts, and he still brings it up.
That is hilarious. See, that's just like, I get so much bonus stuff, Frank, when you're on the show because you are so knowledgeable about this stuff. That is a great little tidbit. I love it. Now, what year would that have been? Early
80s? 84, 85, right around there, yeah.
The first Chris Isaac song.
I lived in San Francisco back then, and, you know, I'd go see him in nightclubs.
Oh, okay.
And he struggled. You know, those early records did not sell. But the label stuck with him, and, you know, David Lynch.
Put
that song, his first hit single, in. Forgot the name of the movie already, with Nicolas Cage.
What, David Lynch movie with Nicolas Cage?
Oh, yeah.
Conrad, let's go to
Wild
the Google.
Wild at Heart? Wild at Heart.
Yeah. There you go. Good pull. It's funny. I watched the film Val. Did you see that? The Val Kilmer documentary?
Yes, I did. About a year ago.
Yeah, and that song is, I had kind of forgotten about that song, but there's a scene at the beginning of the film where Val Kilmer and Rick Rossovich and the guy who married Kelly McGillis from Top Gun are all in his trailer, and that song is on, and they're just hanging out, being goofy actors. It was kind of funny, and they were kind of bad-mouthing Tom Cruise. And the song was so perfectly used in that moment. I'm like, oh, I have to go find this song again. So I kind of rediscovered it. But that's hilarious. I didn't know he was on American Bandstand.
Yeah, Wicked poem. Game, though. Amazing song. And
yeah.
100% the guitar player.
Yeah.
100%.
No, that was great.
James Calvin Wilsey was his name.
Okay. So, wow. All right. So, Frank, let's speaking of music. No, I don't know. I could go on for. I mean, that's a great way to start this interview because I think, you know, you posted, I think you posted or someone else, but something made me think of Kris Kristofferson and you. I think you posted something about him yesterday when he passed away. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. When he's on stage introducing Sinead O'Connor.
Yes.
To a incredible chorus of boos.
And a Bob Dylan tribute. That surprised me.
Oh, it didn't surprise me at all. Bob Dylan's a huge music fan. First and foremost, if you ever want to talk to Bob Dylan, music, that's it. Music trivia, who did what song, where did so-and-so come from, where's Neil Young's house, where was he born? Bob is all over that stuff.
Yeah, but like, are you surprised that she got booed at a Bob Dylan tribute concert? Like, it just seems.
Oh, that's
to...
what you meant.
Yeah, sorry. No, yeah, that is what I meant. And I thought that, like, people, that he had to go up there and give her a hug and just say, you know, he said, don't let the bastards get you down.
Don't let the bastards get you down.
Love it.
Am I surprised? No, I'm not surprised.
That's crazy. The other thing, what I found interesting about what you posted, Frank, was that there was a movie that Kris Kristofferson starred in called Payback with Mel Gibson, and it was this mm-hmm. great, fun, kind of low-key, I think it played in theaters briefly, but David Paymer, who was one of my favorite character actors, is talking to Mel Gibson, and he says, you know, the deck is stacked against him in the scene. He goes, you know what, Porter, but don't let the bastards get you down. He's laughing as he's saying it. And I'm like, he probably got that from that line from Kris Kristofferson. It's like all kind of makes sense sure. when you connect the dots. It was great.
Yeah, that's a great, hardly ever seen Kris Kristofferson movie.
Yeah. Yeah. He's was your overall take on him, Frank? Did you ever get a chance to meet him, see him play?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Talk to him. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know him.
Right.
But I was in Austin with a movie, and there he was at my motel, one of those hipster motels, you know, and reconverted 50s hotel, motel. And there he was, and I said, hi, Chris. And he said, oh, hi. And we sat down and talked a while, and that's what I know about Chris, up close and personal.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to talk about music trivia, and I wouldn't say trivia, history.
Okay.
He loved it, and he's so knowledgeable. And he had this whole almost career way before Nashville in England. Jack Good, a British television producer who created Shindig for American audiences in 1964, big music show back then, he tried to make Kris Kristofferson into a rockabilly star in England, where Chris was a Rhodes Scholar.
Right.
Yeah.
He's had just such an interesting life. I kind of knew just what I had heard about him or heard people talk about in interviews. I love the story John Prine told about Kris Kristofferson showing up. I want to say it was the Old Town Ale House in Chicago. Or he went there to watch Steve Goodman. And Steve Goodman played well. Kris Kristofferson says, come to New York. And Steve Goodman, I mean, talk about doing a solid to your friend, said, you really need to see my friend John Prine, too. So, like, Goodman's not even established with Kris Kristofferson, who can totally help him. And he brings his buddy into the fold. They both benefit from knowing Kris Kristofferson, who just seemed like the kind of guy that paid it forward a lot with younger musicians, because, as I understand it, that's what Johnny Cash did for him.
Johnny Cash did that for a lot of people. But what's interesting about all of that is Chris isn't paying it forward for some nobody. If you saw Steve Goodman, first time I saw Steve Goodman, he wasn't famous, but you knew he was great.
Yeah.
You know, they have the gift. You know it right away.
Hey, Frank, let's pick it up right here. We got to do a quick thing. We'll do the news and we'll pick it up right here because I want to hear. I love this, where this is headed. Frank Anderson is here. Noted musician, director, producer, editor, and founder of Wisconsinology. We're talking Kris Kristofferson. Then we're going to get into some spooky stuff right after Civic Media's award-winning news. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Within your ears. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Dock workers from Maine to Texas went on strike overnight, among them Daniel Amelie at Port Elizabeth in New Jersey.
Employers push automation under the guise of safety, but it is really about cutting labor costs to increase their already exceptionally high profits.
Israeli troops have begun their first ground offensive in Lebanon since 2006. The BBC's Hugo Bechega.
The Israeli military is describing what is happening now as a targeted, limited operation in southern Lebanon. We still don't know the extent of this incursion.
Baseball's all-time hits king Pete Rose has died at the age of 83. He was banned for betting on his own team. But USA Today's Bob Nightingale believes he has a posthumous shot at the Hall of Fame.
He's on baseball's permanently, you know, banned list, but now that he's passed, I would think they might open the door.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Fire dangers are heating up as we enter the fall fire season. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources released a statement Monday asking people to check fire danger before conducting outdoor burning activities. The statement follows predictions for this week's weather to be dry and have gusty winds, perfect conditions for fires to spread. And while it may be fall, state health officials are still urging people in Wisconsin about mosquito bites. James Kelly has more.
The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is reminding residents to protect themselves after two horses tested positive for eastern equine encephalitis. Mosquitoes are capable of spreading the disease to both animals and people, but it cannot be spread through person-to-person or animal-to-person contact. There has been one confirmed human case of the disease this year, likely from travel to another state. I'm James Kelly.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Music legend Kris Kristofferson passed away over the weekend at the age of 88. Kristofferson is a three-time Grammy and Golden Globe winner and was a respected actor as well. He was the star of the original A Star Is Born in 1976, playing opposite Barbra Streisand. Kris Kristofferson was also part of an all-star band called The Highwaymen with Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash, and Waylon Jennings. Kristofferson received a Rhodes Scholarship in literature, but soon after joined the U.S. Army, where he achieved the rank of captain and flew helicopters. Kris Kristofferson was a prolific activist advocating for farmers' rights, workers' rights, and immigrant rights. He famously supported Sinead O'Connor during a Bob Dylan tribute concert, shortly after she ripped up a picture of the Pope on Saturday Night Live in an effort to call attention to child abuse within the Catholic Church. Kristofferson hugged her on stage and called her courageous. Kristofferson died in Hawaii surrounded by his family, but a cause of death was not given. He was a true American original. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be quite a bit cooler today, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid-60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow, breezy, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like the
it's only glass.
It's only tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Late Show with Stephen Colbert writer and comedian Paul Mercurio joins the show. And in the second hour, Northeast Wisconsin-based comedian Rob Brackenridge joins me in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you to cry. Brother, brother, brother.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Monday night as we kick off our October Eve show. I don't brag, I don't toot my own horn, but I would be willing to bet there is no other radio show taking place in our fair state right now that is calling itself the Eve of October show. But we're doing it because Frank Anderson is here right now with us, and we are talking about Kris Kristofferson before we move on to some freaky fun stuff. Frank, you were talking about Steve Goodman, and you knew he was going to be good.
Yeah, I think Kris saw immediately that he had the goods. And he should pay it forward because the guy was good.
Yeah.
Same with John Prine. I mean, those are two no-brainers. So I'll give kudos to Kris for giving him a leg up, but they were going to get there anyway.
Yeah. But how about the story about Johnny Cash? Like, I read something on Facebook recently where Kris Kristofferson was basically sweeping floors. And you said it before. He was a Rhodes Scholar in literature. He joined the Army? I think it was the Army.
He was an Army Ranger.
Yeah, and flew helicopters. And then
he turned down. Yeah, he flew helicopters. And he turned down a teaching position at West Point.
Oh, wow.
So that he could get in on the ground floor in Nashville.
You know, we were talking about this at the beginning of the show. Where are those guys now? Like, everybody that comes out of school now, they go right into what they studied. And same thing. If you're an actor or a musician, you do that. If you're a baseball player, you go to the minor leagues. If you're a marketing guy, you do marketing. This guy, his experience, and this isn't uncommon. Like, you know, Jimmy Stewart served in the military. All these people, these artists, took these different paths and actually had stuff to write about or sing about. Is that kind of fallen by the wayside? Do you still see people like
that? That's completely gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm racking my brain of the stars. Right, I mean, Taylor Swift grew up in her bedroom
writing songs. Yeah.
No, really, and you know, had the teddy bears and shit and guitars and local people nearby. I don't know. I mean, she wasn't out there in the world for a long time, and then you know, let the cumulative experiences make up her. Self. No, they become what they want to be really fast, immediately.
And it's too bad because I remember, like, I didn't move to L.A. till I was in my late 20s, and I was like, oh, everything's youth, everything. They want to hear the opinions of 21-year-old comedians. I'm like, what are they even talking about? What, like, experience is not valued, you know? And it's just...
No, their experiences are all arguing online, making snarky comments about how bad, what was that movie that bombed this summer based on a game?
Oh.
I've forgotten it so quickly.
Yeah.
That everybody was trashing and then an entire tribe decided they were going to defend it because they decided they love movies that get trashed, so they take the opposite, you know, back and forth online. And, yeah, no, I don't know anybody that did anything interesting.
Right.
Used to be. I don't want to sound like a grumpy... Well, yeah, I am. I mean, a songwriter might have been working on an oil derrick for 5 years or something
right.
like that. And most of them of that generation, and of Kris's generation, they all had experiences. And country singers, don't even get me started, Waylon and Johnny grew up in a house with a dirt floor.
How many
people do that anymore?
Right.
In country. I mean, you don't have the, you know, the disparate poor girl or guy coming up and making it.
Yeah, it's interesting. He was in the Highwaymen, too. And I have to be honest, I don't remember any of their music. I don't know if I was in a different phase then, but from 85 to 95, it was Kris Kristofferson, Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, and Waylon Jennings. And I was kind of ashamed of myself because I'm like, I can't think of one of their songs. I don't remember ever downloading any of them or whatever. But legends. Were they great?
They were four legends on stage. I don't think they blended well at all.
Okay.
I mean, who the hell would want to hear those four guys harmonize?
Right.
It's like cats, you know, it's like scratching on a chalkboard. It's cats mating. It's awful. But as individuals, I think that's the way they performed. They performed together,
okay.
I believe, at the end or at the beginning, and then they did solo turns. But their big hit was The Highwayman, The Highwayman. And it was a Jimmy Webb song. And that was a big, big, big song for them. Jimmy Webb, by the way, wrote Lineman for the County and other
songs
like that. Up, Up and Away in My Beautiful Balloon. MacArthur Park.
Oh, really?
Yes. I knew I'd hit with one of these.
I'm not sure. I've actually heard of the other ones too, but I'm not sure if I should love that song or not, where it ranks musically.
I love it. I absolutely do it.
Do you? Okay, because
Waylon cut it 5 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I just remember hearing, it was one of the first songs I heard on the radio, and therefore, by association, I just loved that song. Whether it was Donna Summer, everyone I hear sing it, it's just such a beautiful, sad song. It's great.
It's beautiful, and yeah. I could not understand why no one understood the lyrics. Do we not know metaphor? It is shocking to me. Do we not know literary devices?
Right.
And at the time, people didn't understand it.
They're just sitting at home.
Damn cake you're leaving out.
Right. They're just sitting at home going, bring the cake in. Yeah. What are you doing?
Some song about a cake. I don't know.
All right, Frank. So Halloween is right around the corner. Last time you were here, I had all these questions that from Wisconsinology we didn't get to because we were talking about something else. Can you tell me about, what's his name? Roy Chapman Andrew. He's called on your site, or he was called the Dragon Hunter. And I think that is so cool.
Dragon Hunter. He is the greatest he wasn't a great technical archaeologist, but he made the greatest discoveries in the field of dinosaur paleontology of the 20th century. He ruled the Museum in New York Natural History. He was in charge of it. He led a huge expedition into the Gobi Desert in Mongolia, and there he found a treasure trove of dinosaur fossils and dinosaurs. And he led that trip in a fleet of four-wheel drive trucks. China had seen nothing like it. Four-wheel drive was huge.
Wow.
It impressed him. And where is four-wheel drive from?
I'm guessing Wisconsin, the way you said it?
Of course, everything is. Clintonville, Wisconsin. And as a special gift to the people of Clintonville, Sun Yat-sen, the leader of China at the time, 1927, sent a piece of the Great Wall of China Clintonville, where it resides today, the only piece of the Great Wall outside of China.
That is really cool. It says on your site he's from, it's B-E-D-O-T, Bedott, Wisconsin, or Bedot. I can't.
Beloit.
Even, oh, Beloit. It must have just been, all right, maybe.
Is there a typo on my?
Possibly. I would be surprised, Frank.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I was Googling it. I'm like, I can't find this town. This is even more mysterious.
No.
That's
Beloit.
Hilarious. Okay.
We all know Beloit. We know the university there. Roy Chapman Andrews grew up there, and he was completely influenced by the countryside and exploring and animals, fauna, everything. And, of course, our wonderful trilobite fossils, which we have in this state.
And, first of all, I want to clarify, that was my bad. You do not have a typo on your website. I cut and pasted it, and something must have gotten lost. So, Bedott, Wisconsin, it does sound mysterious, though. It says Roy Chapman.
There is Kadot.
Oh, really?
Kadot, yeah.
Kadot, Wisconsin. Okay.
Yeah.
He is the one of the inspirations for Indiana Jones, it looks like.
One of them.
Okay.
A lot of Wisconsin sites go nuts and say he is the guy, right?
Yeah.
He did carry a whip sometimes. I mean, Roy Chapman Andrews was a character, so he liked to look the part. And he did carry a rifle, and he had the jodhpurs and the He didn't have the hat. He had more of a U.S. Army 1919 hat, looking hat. But, yeah, he is considered. But George Lucas never once said that Indiana Jones was based on a certain someone. He was based on an archetype. And in that sense, Roy Chapman Andrews is the guy, because he was the archetype of the adventuring archaeologist of the early part of the 20th century.
If you're listening right now, go to wisconsinology.com and find this picture. It's so great. You've got like this like flame sky behind him. He's on a horse holding a rifle, and it just says Dragon Hunter. It's a great photo in the hat. And you could obviously, you see the similarities with Indiana Jones. It's pretty cool.
That's one of my early Photoshop efforts.
Oh, wow. Nice work.
Yeah.
I still can't do Photoshop. Another character I wanted to ask you about, my guest is Frank Anderson, by the way, wisconsinology.com. Check it out. You've seen his work in documentaries and commercials. He's a jack of all showbiz trades. Frank, there's another guy I have to ask you about because I'm half Murphy, and it's Dr. John B. Murphy from your hometown or your adopted hometown of Appleton, Wisconsin. He's called the greatest American surgeon of his generation, according to Wisconsinology. And the picture was you showed him in Chicago after tending to Theodore Roosevelt, who was shot in the chest during a presidential campaign stop in Milwaukee.
Where else would you be shot in the chest, you know? Milwaukee was full of anarchists and crazy far-right and left-wing people, even back then. And John Murphy is considered the father, and he might have made this up himself because he had quite an ego.
Those Irish like to brag.
He's the first generation to be born in the brand new city of Appleton. He's the first, and his classmate was Kate Blood, the famous Kate Blood, who everybody goes nuts over every Halloween at the Appleton Riverside Cemetery.
Oh, wow.
And he became the father of gastrointestinal surgery, and he invented all these surgical techniques like the Murphy button, you know, things like that that we all know. And his ego and his status in his profession were so inflated that when Theodore Roosevelt was shot, he could see no one else but America's greatest surgeon, Dr. John B. Murphy, in Chicago. He was famous in Chicago, and he brought a lot of young talent out of Appleton the whole time. So he paid it forward in many ways, too.
Oh, that's cool. When you say first of Appleton, was Appleton not incorporated until like the early night?
Appleton exploded. Appleton. Okay. It within 5 years of its founding, it begins with Lawrence University, and this is the late 1840s. You know, a brand new state, Wisconsin. Lawrence University becomes the second co-educational college of the West, and at that point, it was the West, the frontier. And within 5 years, it has, you know, three hotels, one a three-story hotel, bookstores, bakeries, way too many grocery stores. New York Times did a big piece on it. But to have been born in the late 1840s, early 1850s, you're the first generation of Appletonians. And Dr. John B. Murphy and Kate Blood were in that group.
Okay, so here's what I'd like to do, Frank. All month we're doing our Freaky Friday segment. Maybe in like 2 or 3 weeks as we get closer to Halloween, I would love to have you on a Friday night and talk about the scariest stories involving Wisconsin. And we can start with this Kate Blood because I know very little about her. Would you be game for coming back?
I'd love to
do that. Okay.
Okay. Kate Blood is a wonderful tale of being named the wrong name.
I can't wait to hear this. All right. So we're going to reschedule you back closer to Halloween. Thanks so much, buddy. Have a great night. Always so much fun talking to you.
We always end so quickly.
I know. Well, we'll do more time next time. I know. We'll carve out some time, and I'll have a whole bunch of scary stuff ready for you. All right. Thanks so much,
good.
Frank.
I can't wait. That's my thing.
I know. All right. That's Frank Anderson. Check out wisconsinology.com, one of our favorite guests here at Nightlight. We'll be back very shortly to wrap this up on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes, inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers return home to face the Boilermakers. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Early voting for the 2024 general election has begun in 6 states, either by mail or in person. Another 9 states begin next week. But beware, voter registration begins closing next week in 14 states. Voting early has its advantages. No lines, more time to make choices, fewer health concerns, and generally less hassle. And for mail-in or absentee voters, it allows time to cure your ballot if you make a mistake, if your state allows it. Depending on your state's rules, early voting can be by mail-in absentee or in-person absentee, universal mail-in ballot, or in-person at a designated polling place. One or more of these options has already begun in Wisconsin, Minnesota, South Dakota, Virginia, Vermont, and Illinois. The week of October 7th, early voting begins in California, Montana, Nebraska, Indiana, New Mexico, Ohio, Wyoming, and Arizona. But in order to vote early or on Election Day, you must be registered. In the next 10 days, voter registration closes in 14 states for mail, online, and in-person registration for the general election. This includes South Carolina, Alaska, Rhode Island, Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Kentucky, Mississippi, Ohio, Tennessee, Texas, and Missouri. In some states, online and mail registration deadlines may differ. Find your state deadlines at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Happening with the I'm gonna skim over a lot of these texts because I don't understand what they say. A lot of it is Todd and Amanda, and you know what they're doing? They're making fun of us, Conrad.
I
can't stand for that. No, there's Speedo jokes, and because you and I said we were going to do a Speedo thing, remember that? And I wouldn't say we chickened out, but you know, first of all, I don't know if it's appropriate to wear Speedos on the stream. Mine is a thong, and I don't know that I need to subject people to that. I wear them in the comfort of my own yard. I thought it was lame if we wore them over clothes, because then it's like, oh, they're too chicken to be in a Speedo.
Well, you went past that too fast there.
What
in the comfort of your own yard? So you go outside.
Yeah, it's mostly private. Anyway, that was funny. And Amanda said, Todd said, is it Speedo night? Because I think that was Todd's idea to begin with. And then Amanda made it worse and said, edible Speedo. Now that sounds like great radio. So we're going to skim past a lot of this. Right to one of our favorites, Aunt Carla checking in. She says, got mom finally on Alexia.
Alexa.
Oh, that's a miss. Oh, she's talking about Alexa. Siri's cousin. And she says, we heard Clintonville. And we are late getting on. Well, it's better to have you on a little bit, Carla, than not at all. Always fun to have Carla listening. She says, hi, Pete and Conrad from Grandma. Well, hello, Grandma. Is this Grandma Krieger?
Yeah.
Okay. So is Grandma Krieger a fan of Nightlight? Does she ever own a Facebook? Can we get a like out of her and a follow? That's what I'm concerned about.
She does not have a Facebook.
Oh, come on. All right. That was fun. We're going to have Frank back as we get closer to Halloween. This week we're doing all month on Fridays, we're going to do what's called Freaky Friday. So it's Bar Band Friday night. We'll have Terry Barr on at 7:35 to bring us new music and sparkling conversation like she does. But at 6:35, we're going to have Freaky Friday. We'll have someone on telling ghost stories from Wisconsin. It's going to play all month up until Halloween. And I want to hear all about Kate Blood from our friend Frank Anderson as we get closer. So we'll book him back on a Friday. And Todd, obviously, Todd is the go-to guy with ghost stories, but he does high school football. So we're trying to find a date when we can maybe get Todd in, if there's a bye in there or a pre-record or whatever we have to do. It's so much fun talking to Todd about that stuff. Tomorrow night on the show, Paul Mercurio will be here. He's a writer on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert and a comedian. And he's got a show he's promoting, and he will be here tomorrow night. So that'll be fun to talk to Paul. One of the funniest things Stephen Colbert ever did was, you know that song we use it as intro music, and it's Daft Punk, Get Lucky. Stephen Colbert did this whole thing where he called that the song of the summer, but then I think it was sponsored by a car company. The car company backed out. So Stephen Colbert choreographed this whole thing. He put in tons of celebrities. He went over into other studios to that song, and he's dancing the entire time. He went on Dancing with the Stars and danced while that song was playing. Matt Damon was in the Matt Damon booth. Jeff Bridges was doing it, the guy from House. It was one of the funnest things I've ever seen on late night. So I want to ask Paul about that tomorrow night. It was really a cool and you know, even better if he had something to do with it. But either way, it was just a really fun piece. But Paul will be here tomorrow night, and comedian Rob Brackenridge will be here all the way from Appleton, Wisconsin. He's coming up to be in studio tomorrow night. We're going to talk about late night talk shows, find out who the GOAT is. That'll be a fun show tomorrow night as well. And then on Wednesday night, I'm excited to have Steve and Leo here. They are two guys who formed a comedy team in Chicago. When I was starting out, they were already comedy legends. And they moved from the Midwest shortly thereafter and wrote films like The Santa Claus, Space Jam, Kicking and Screaming. Two great guys, hilariously funny. And I had the pleasure of writing a script with them once. And it was just, I was just like a kid in a candy store with two comedy idols of mine. They were so fun to work with. So they'll be here Wednesday, Bar Band Friday night. All kinds of fun stuff happening this week, folks. So great to have you with us tonight. And I hope you'll join us all week. All right, so do we have time for that John Ashton clip, that other one? It's like a minute and a half, right?
Yeah, we have time.
All right, this is John Ashton, who passed away. He was in Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2, I think, and maybe the most recent one, in Midnight Run as Marvin Dorfler, the bounty hunter. We heard a clip earlier. This is John talking about auditioning for the movie Midnight Run and Robert De Niro.
One of my all-time favorite films is Midnight Run.
Oh, thank you.
And I mean, it's incredible. So what do you, when did you know that was going to be like a huge thing, and what do you remember about making it?
I went to see Joey Pants do a play in L.A., and at intermission, an actor, Alan Vint, a friend of mine, came up and said, well, you're going to do Midnight Run, aren't you? And I go, well, I don't know, I never heard about it. And, of course, I had my Cracker Jack agent, you know, but... so he said, you're perfect, man. So then I found out Marty Bress was directing it, who directed the first Cop. So I called Marty and I said, hey, Marty, what's the deal with Midnight Run? He goes, oh, you'd be great in it. And I said, well, I'm waiting for the offer. And he said, but you have to audition with Bob De Niro. Sure. So I said, okay, that's fine. So I went and had an audition with Bob, and there were about 30 guys in the hallway, and everybody was like, oh, my God, I gotta read with Bobby De Niro, and everybody was freaking out. And I said, I can't wait, man. Nobody's getting this role but me. And I went in, and Bob and I talked a little bit, and then we started reading the scene, and I'll have to swear a little bit, but I said, give me the keys, Jack, give me the keys. And Bobby started handing me these matches. And I went to grab the matches, and he threw them on the floor and stared at me. And I looked at the matches, and I looked up, and I said, F you. And he said, F you, too. I said, go F yourself. And I know every other actor picked those up and handed it to him. And I found out as soon as I left, he went, I want him.
Wow.
He wanted somebody to
story.
He wanted somebody to stand up to him.
Yeah.
I love that story. I love stories about how actors take chances and it pays off. I had the pleasure of talking to John Ashton at the Wisconsin Film Festival a few years ago, and he had a great story about packing up his car with his young wife and moving to L.A. Really fun guy to talk to, and left a pretty good legacy as well in acting. So rest in peace, John Ashton. Thank you for joining me. Thank you to Craig Kinnett and Dan Davies and Frank Anderson. And thank you, as always, for all your texts. We'll be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba. Good night, Wisconsin.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll preview the vice presidential debate. J.D. Vance taking on Tim Walz right here. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.